stand a moment without holding on to anything and on the two legs. And can you have a sense of how and where the expansions and otherwise of breathing take place? So is there anything of that in the small of the back, between the pelvis and including the small ribs, for instance? And as the expansion enlarges, if it enlarges, does it include this whole area of the back below the shoulder blades or not? Does it kind of go from belly and jumps up into an upper part of the chest? Because for standing, if we use, presumably overuse the extensors, then maybe that diminishes the ability of the ribs to move underneath, but maybe it doesn't have to. No. Okay. So just kind of start off so that you have a pre-picture. Okay. Then would you stand with, stand on one leg and put the toes of the other leg, put the other leg a little bit behind and just put the toes behind. So just very lightly, so that you have weight on one leg. And if you are using a surface to touch, then have the fingers be on the opposite arm than the leg you're standing on. If you're standing on the left leg, it's the fingers of the right hand. And then bring the other arm, the free arm, forward, so it's a bit higher than shoulder height, so that it's, you don't look at the hand in a fixed kind of way, but you see it, right? You see it, so it's not so high that you don't see it. It's just a tiny bit above shoulder height. You don't put it in the middle, you leave it out on the side, but it's kind of more or less height, eye height, and begin to shift your weight on the leg that you're standing on to the inside and to the outside edge. To the inside and to the outside edge. Doing something with the foot. So you stand on the inner edge and on the outer edge without making a big movement of the pelvis. Not a big movement of the pelvis. You really find out what you can make that's small within the foot. As you breathe, do it slowly and look. Look at least somewhere past the hand. And if you're standing without holding on to anything, then use the opposite arm. So if you're standing on the right leg, use the left one. Mm-hmm. And then go quickly. You go quickly on the foot. Really quickly on the foot. Really quickly on the foot. In, out, in, out, in, out. Great. And then leave that and just take some steps around. Let's make room, a little bit more room for walking. So when you walk past some mats, just double them up, throw them up. Then come again to stand. Same leg, you stand on the same leg, make your similar arrangement. Bring the hand, the arm up so the hand is eye level, but you kind of look past it. But it's your orienting point that'll let you know if you've drifted your head down or way too high. And on the same foot, you now shift your weight forward and backwards. So once you stand on the heel, and once you actually do something that you stand on the toes, but without changing the level of your head. So that means you stand on the toe of the front leg. The back foot is behind just for balance. The back foot is behind just for balance, not for putting weight. And so when you stand on the toe of your standing leg and your head does not go up, so you're not really getting up on the toes, then you have to sort out how to bend the knee. And you get to determine which way the bottom of your pelvis goes. So, I don't know. Try it. But the weight is on that forward leg. The back leg is just a little bit for balance. Do it slowly, and then do it quickly. Slowly and quickly. And see if the arm can be, the hand can be a little higher than the shoulder. So that otherwise your eyes will, it'll pull your eyes down. If you have too big of a step, that will be a problem. So quickly means once on the toe, once on the heel. Ah. Yeah. And your head, actually you attempt to keep your head where it is, so the head doesn't go forward and back, forward and back. Your head stays in the same place and just underneath there. That's it. There you go. Actually, that's great. Walk around, please. Walk around. Come back to your spot. Come back to your spot. And same leg as your standing leg, and you have the toes of the other one just lightly behind you, just for balance. Bring an arm up, depending whether yours. Did you change legs? No, we're not meant to change legs just yet. Yeah, same leg. And then can you stand in such a way that you could actually lift the toes of the leg behind. Not by bending the knee, but by lifting the leg. So can you lift a straight leg? Lift a straight leg. Now the eyes are somewhere a little bit above the horizon, right? They're a little bit above the hand. They're at the horizon. The hand is high. So the eyes don't migrate down. And just, we'll see how they would use that as a reference to see whether you can have a more sense of length from the front of the ankle up through the base of the breastbone, base of the neck and head in the front, and in the back, from the heel along the back of the leg, through the back. So just feel as a length, how is it in the front, how is it in the back, and take a few steps very near to your neighborhood. Don't change neighborhoods. Okay, and come to stand again. Same leg. Same foot, same leg. Let's go to the other side. So change legs. Change directions, change which hand is. And really establish where the hand is. So the hand is more or less where your horizon is. So that when you're looking, it's not a fixed kind of looking. Right? You're at the horizon, but it becomes a wider looking because your hand is not focused, right? Somewhere over there. And a few times you, from the foot, go on the inner and the outer edge. Inner edge, outer edge, inner edge, outer edge, inner edge, outer edge. With the least amount of disturbance to the head, not because you're doing a big fixing, but because you're doing a clear differentiation in the ankle and in the hip joint, and you breathe. You breathe. What we did in the morning isn't sufficient to last you through the afternoon. You have to keep breathing. Okay. Good. We'll let that be. Walk around. Stand. Same leg. Hand is on the horizon while the eyes look forward, and you see a little bit on the peripheral vision. You see the hand. Don't lose the hand. And now shift your weight so that you are once on the ball of the foot and toes, and once on the heel. So the heel lifts, but you don't rock forward and back. Your head stays where it is. Your head stays where it is. Well, some of your hands have migrated downward. As if just somehow underneath you, this wheel, you roll on the wheel of the foot. But don't shift your weight back. Don't shift your weight back. Your weight doesn't shift back, so your head doesn't go back. It's all on the front foot. All on the front foot. Slowly and then quickly. So don't do it from the pelvis. If the pelvis goes, the pelvis goes. But do it from the foot and the hip joint. There you go. That's different. If you don't do it from the pelvis, then the lower back can stay more free. If you notice, if you're, whoops, the hands migrated down. Okay. Go for a short walk. Come back and see how it is to, with the magnet of your hand at eye level, to stand on the front leg and to actually lift the back one without tipping and without shortening in the front or in the back. So you, yesterday we had these long distances of length, so today's is even longer. It's from the heel on the, along the back surface to the back of the head to the top, and from the front of the ankle along the front. Good. And walk around. Come to stand on the first leg. And before you, well, actually stand on both legs, just near in your spot. And revisit again this potential fullness in the back. The small ribs, the ribs above the small ribs, the space between the pelvis and the chest, and really the ribs below the shoulder blades. And then stand, however you are supporting yourself or not, on the first leg. Bring one arm up, hand is eye level. And slowly, slowly move the hip joint of the standing leg a little to the left, a little to the right, which brings us directly back to our friend's question, which I heard again yesterday when I was doing the copying the text. Because is it a shift that just goes with shift trans? Posing the pelvis, right? Translating the pelvis? Or is it a left and right in which one side of the pelvis drops and then the other side of the pelvis drops? Yeah? Is that the possibility? And then there's this other possibility that's larger. So see which one for you keeps you much more standing on one leg. So then theoretically, you could even lift the other one. And yet still, maintain more balance. So those of you who are standing next to a chair, you are standing on the foot that is farther away from the chair, holding the chair with the hand that's closer to the chair, and have the other arm upward. So, and really when it's hip joint, so what does hip joint mean? Hip joint means the head of the femur somehow goes left and right, but the pelvis slips a little bit, right? Remember that the hip socket is round. So it's different if you imagine that it goes straight across as if the hip joint was a flat plane. The hip joint is not a flat plane, right? The hip joint is a rounded kind of thing. And make a small movement, breathe, breathe. Can you do it without losing connection to the... You can have the toes in the back, have the toes standing in the back, the toes standing in the back, and just, okay, good, walk around.
Is it that the leg is going like this and like that?
It has to a little bit, doesn't it? Yes, yes. Come to stand again. Same leg, one arm, hand at eye level. And now you take the hip joint forward and back. Hip joint forward and back. And can your head stay more or less where it is and somehow underneath while you breathe, and do not diminish the fullness in the back. Keep the toes of the back foot on the floor, but do it quickly then. Can you do it quickly? Be small but quick, small but quick, small but quick. Whoop. But the head doesn't go down. Huh, careful. It doesn't go down away from the ceiling. Uh-huh. Okay, and can you go quickly in it left and right? Quickly left and right, quickly left and right. Quickly left and right. The back, toes are just for balance. They're not for taking weight. Great. Stand a moment on two legs. Take the same leg backward that you just had. Bring the same arm up. And can you lift the back leg? Which really means, can you get very tall on the leg where you've been just examining? Which way is left, which way is right, which way is forward, which way is back. That's it. And so your head will go, now your head will move a little bit through space. It'll go a little bit forward and up, tiny bit forward and up. There you go. Walk around. You might also import these five directions that we had yesterday from the spine, from the coccyx upward to the top of the head, from the sacrum and hip joints downward to the legs. Can you represent yourself to yourself that way? From the base of the neck, wide through the shoulder, stand on the other leg now. Stand on the other leg. And before all these examinations of taking the hip joint left, right, forward, and back, how is it to lift the back leg upward with an arm up at eye level? How is it to lift the leg up? How do you search for the standing on the standing leg? Good. Then put the toes back down and take that hip joint a little to the left and a little to the right. Which really means represent somehow to yourself. So if you're standing next to a If you're not holding on to a chair, I suggest you take the contralateral arm. So if the other leg now, I don't know, what is the other one for you?
Yeah, it's the other one.
It's the other one for you.
I don't know what
you... What you're moving? You're going left and right. You're taking the hip joint, the standing hip joint, left and right. So you do... You have to represent the movement to yourself somehow. And keep the other toes on the ground so the movement would stay really small and so that you have to somehow move the pelvis in relation to both legs but have the weight on one leg. So you go slowly, you go quickly, and you may notice that the weight is going, shifting on the inner and outer edge of your foot, no? Right? But now you're organizing it from above, whereas when we started, we organized it from the foot. Right? We organized the thinking from the foot. Okay, walk around. Walk around. Okay? Got oriented into the thing? Good. Take your spot again. If you are not using... not touching anywhere with your hand, and you're standing on the right foot, I would say take the contralateral arm. You'll actually have better balance. If you are using a chair, then you have to take the same side hand. Good. And then so where is your head in space? What is the width across the back of your shoulders, down each arm, the length from the spine upward, the length from each hip joint to the heel, and begin to take the standing hip joint forward and back while the head stays reasonably where it is. And you may notice that the weight shift a bit forward and back on the foot, but that's a response. That's not what you lead with. Let the hand stay more or less at eye level, so you have a wide gaze that allows you to see somewhere in the peripheral vision and go quickly. Quickly. And some of you, the one person in front of me, you're taking your hip joint forward and then it's just kind of returning, but it's not going back. So how does that hip joint go back? Because we're going forward and back. There you go. Now you went back. That's it. Now you went back as well. That's it. Great. Good. Walk around. So it's not taking the whole side of the pelvis back and forth. It's taking the hip joint forward and back. So the pelvis actually stays facing the same way. And the toes, no, the toes stay on the ground so that you're actually constrained by that. There you go. Okay. And now just stand on the same foot. Put the other one back. And then lift the back leg. See whether these a little, maybe as yet unclear and clear. No, the one that you were just on. The one you were just on. And you just lift the back toes. You lift the back toes and find if you can stand a bit more clearly on the leg that has just done some self-examination. Wide through the shoulders, roll through the back. All right, good. Walk around, unroll a mat, lie on your back and rest. And use the time lying on your back. You can keep your legs long, or if you'd like, you can bend them to refresh the image of limbs from the base of the spine to the top of the head, from the base of the neck through the width of the shoulders and down the arms. And from the sacrum to the hip joints, down each leg. And refresh the various dimensions that are for breathing. especially the breathing in the ribs behind and behind the front of the chest and below the shoulder blades. And the distance and the length from the breastbone where the clavicles attach to the left and right sides of the pubic bone. And roll over to one side, come to stand. If you're using a little balance aid, use it. If you're not, stand. In either case, stand. Standing next to a chair, bring the toes of the foot that is close to the chair behind, touch that hand to the chair, bring the other arm forward. If you're standing without anything, then bring the contralateral arm forward. And before even lifting the toes in the back, you have less and less weight and the toes in the back. Less and less weight, the toes in the back. Stay like that with that lesser weight. And now, just refresh for yourself, taking the standing hip joint a little bit forward and back, very little bit, but be really clear that you've taken it forward and back, and be clear in your image whether it seems like the pelvis rolls over the head of the femur. So when the head of the femur goes back, does the bottom of the pelvis come forward a little bit, or the top of the pelvis come forward? Where's the cup? And then take the femur forward, and then where is the cup? Is the cup now behind it? That's how do you represent. Where does the cup go when the femur goes forward and back? Good. If it's really small, really small. Then, oh, look. Watch the eyes. Watch the other hand. Good. And then wherever the middle is, well, keep the neck soft, the shoulders wide. If you take a pause, maybe take a pause. Just stand. Just stand. Same arm leg. Same leg as the standing leg. The other hand goes up. The other hand either hangs or rests. But the width through the shoulders from the base of the neck, the length upward, and the weight on the standing leg. And then very slightly represent to yourself, how does the head of the femur go inward and outward? And where is the cup? Where is the funnel? Where is the head? Where is the cup of the acetabulum? And can you direct that cup of the acetabulum not from the big pelvis where you would put your hands, but from the small pelvis? Because maybe there you have actually smaller, maybe it's a finer regulation. Keep the hands soft, keep it high, don't let it fall, breathe, don't fix the eyes, let them gaze. Excellent, good. Walk around. Walk around, walk around, walk around. So kind of looping through it again to get a second chance of finding a bit more restfulness in this very fine movement. And the restfulness, I think, comes partially from orientation. An orientation of what is moving relative to what. And orientation usually requires real things. You orient by going out in the world past very real things. You go past the bank, across the bridge, Right? They're very real relationships. So that kind of orientation internally, it's also matter. It's like, where's this and where's that? Good. So turn around to, have we gone forward and back and in and out? Yeah. So turn around. Turn around or use the stand on the other leg. And that's what it is. It's like we take down the intensity. We take down the of it. That ribs can breathe. You can stop at any time and then start again. From the base of the neck, the width of the arms to the hands, the length upward from the spine, downward through the legs. Just these five lines, or as one colleague calls it, the starfish. Starfish stands on toes. And what you decide if you go forward and back with the hip joint first, or in and out. Or in and out. Where does the pubic bone go? So where does the cup go? And can you move the cup from the small pelvis? You did such powerful and clear work, everybody, on really locating the small pelvis. So when the hip joint goes back, right, when the hip joint goes, there's something opposite, right? That the cup goes opposite the direction that the head of the femur goes, whether it's in or out or forward and back. So you take a brief pause, but the leg you're standing on, don't bend the knee. That to the degree that you can. You were thinking about that. Should I? Shouldn't I?
That's the idea.
No, the idea is to stay long and tall, and maybe when the pelvis gets even more clear on the standing leg, then it can be a better support as well for the whole trunk, to have the ribs wide in the back for breathing. Wide through the shoulders. Yeah, free neck, soft eyes. And then maybe then you can just lift the back foot. Lift the back foot, not because you lift it, but because you get so tall that it's easy to lift it. And when you lift, your head will go, everything will go a little bit forward, tilt the tiniest little bit forward from the hip joint. Voila, that looks elegant, not just barely possible. Okay. Walk around and just feel what this does for walking, for the when the leg behind isn't just behind, it actually has a function behind. So feel free, we'll have a rest, so feel free to sit, keep walking, stand, or lie down. One side of it shifts a bit up, which side of it shifts a bit down. Shifts a bit down. Yeah.
It doesn't stay horizontal.
I don't think so. No. I think that it actually makes it much easier to balance if it shifts up and down, doesn't it? Because the mass of it stays more in the center, whereas if it goes left and right, the mass of it shifts way over to the side. I mean, it's possible, and I think we should be able to.
But I have to do it from here.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then what happens is the pubic bone and the whole small pelvis goes once towards one leg and once towards the other. It drops like that, yeah. So please come to staff, and there's just really one more dimension to do, which is to make a circle around each standing leg. So very light, maybe even it's being able to be lighter and lighter. Contact with the back toes. So the weight is fully on the front leg. The weight is fully on the front leg. Mm-hmm. And you circle. So the words are a bit. Unclear because you circle the hip joint, but the hip joint is just the space between the femur and the pelvis. So what do you actually do with the femur and what do you actually do with the pelvis in relation to it? Mm-hmm. And then you keep the eyes soft, keep the hand alive but soft, the width through the shoulders, you don't get shorter, you notice perhaps that there's also something circular happening in relation to the foot. I mean, of the foot in relation to the floor. Keep the forward arm long. Keep the tongue soft. And when you've gone in one direction, then go in the other. Don't bend the knee on the standing leg. Find how to do this without bending the knee, and that actually it really is a circle, so it's equal in all directions. Come stand a moment, just stand, bring both legs together, stand, both arms down. Then take the same leg, stand on the same leg, take the same toes back, the same arm forward, and think of the length from the heel of the standing leg to the crown of the head, from behind, from in front, from inside, and lift the foot behind, lift the leg behind. Notice that you will get a little bit, somehow you get even taller, and there's a little bit, the whole length of the trunk comes forward. Tiny little bit. You're not leaning yet, but you do come a little bit forward with the top of the head. Think of the lengths. Let the lengths help you. Let the lengths help you. Let the lengths help you. Excellent. Walk around. Have you gone around the circle the other way or no? Yes? The circle on the around, yeah. The circle around the hip joint. Did you go in one direction or did you go in two directions? I don't remember what I said. So change to the other leg, huh? Change to the other leg. So establish the conditions, right? There's the position, and then there are the conditions within the position, which is the length from the spine upward, maybe from the base of the neck through each arm, and from the sacrum and each hip joint downward, that's one set of things, and the width and fullness of the ribs in the back, and in the standing. On the standing leg, you go around. It's really small, right? The smaller it is, the more clearly, perhaps, out of this circle, the inner intelligence can construct the middle, which will be the place on which to actually eventually stand, go in the other. Take the circle in the other direction. You have the small pelvis to think of. You have the coccyx to think of. You have the lengths. You have the distance from the heel of the standing leg to the crown. And then take a rest or just stand. Just stand and whew, long and tall. And the leg goes up. The leg goes up. And perhaps you really begin to feel the length from the heel up through the crown of the head. Or somewhere also from the pubic bone to the base of the throat. The eyes and the hand. Great. Wow, it's quiet. Don't know how each person is experiencing it, but I've looked at each person and it looks dramatically different from the first moment. So please walk around. And you know, this could be your completion, or let's see what happens this way. Actually, this is good for everybody to join in. As at the very beginning, stand on one leg, take the toes back, bring one arm up, and as at the very beginning, shift your weight on the foot. So we shift perspectives, and now it's the foot. Now it's the foot on the inner and outer edge, on the inner and outer edge. And how is it to shift your weight on the inner and outer edge? Easier? For one person. It's good.
Clear.
Yeah, clear. Good. Now, good. Okay. Change to the other leg. You don't have to keep using the support of the chair. You can completely abandon it or abandon it partially, have it on the ready, and... And same thing, in and out, slowly and also really quickly, right? So this is when the ground underneath you shifts somehow, whether it's because you're on a slack line or because you're in a mudslide or something, I don't know, whatever. Or you're drunk. Good. Okay. And then you could walk around, and then you could do the same. Just shift your weight in and out while the other foot is lifted from the ground. Okay, so now that's creating a larger challenge. If you don't want to take it, you don't have to, but you can. While the ribs in the back, the small ribs, the ribs behind the shoulder, below the shoulder blades. The arms are soft, the neck is soft, there's a width through the shoulders. And voila. Great. Take the other foot. So that now, where you're moving intentionally is within the foot, and however above there, that's the adjustment, right? The response, the cooperation, the echo, the team. Great, walk around. And you could repeat the same thing, going forward and back. So take some steps, come back. Stand somewhere. Stand on one leg. Support yourself. Don't support yourself. And then on the foot, what did you do? You shifted your weight back and on the heel, and maybe you can even lift the toes. And on the put your weight on the toes and lift the heel. With or without a balancing aid? You have a couple of balancing aids. One is the toes behind. And the other is a little bit of a hand on something. But don't use your eyes on the floor as a balancing aid. Let's eliminate that one. And let's eliminate freezing the neck as an aid to balance and holding the ribs below the scapula. Walk around. And do so on the other leg, if you'd like. So, but don't eliminate balancing aids that you still need. So don't eliminate the chair, don't eliminate the toes in the back until really there is a capacity to move the foot and have a response upward through the hip joint and through the knee such that you don't have to hold the neck, the eyes, the hands, narrow yourself through the shoulders. And quite often, right, we do something so specific the first time, it is watch your left, watch the right hand has kind of drooped. So up here, light, easy, the other hand is soft, either that or get yourself a support. There you go. It's extraordinary. We with humor, took away your balancing aids and your balance improved. It's wild, right? You're standing there, the hand in the front was beginning to, the elbow was beginning to withdraw like a little chicken wing, right? The hand became a claw. The other hand was here, you were very focused, and then eliminated that, and all of a sudden your actually balance got much better here. Because you can't, while we are pretending to balance, the brain can't balance us. Because all of this is, or while we're fearing that we won't be able to balance, there's no way for the what we can do to come through and have it. Yeah. Great. Walk around. Take a rest. There's another little component for those who wish to go on, and those who wish to watch it are welcome to do so. So the component would be, think about it, image it as you rest, would be to bring both arms forward, one leg behind, and then to imagine a length from the heel of the back leg through to the top of the head. Maybe the arms are, they're not up, they're more forward. And then you actually, only using this one hip joint, you begin to bring the arms with a length, so the arms don't droop, the leg doesn't droop, the fingers don't grab the air. You stay long from head to the heel. Now, I don't know whether you should flex the foot in the back or you could flex the foot in the back. Just try it. But all it is like you're just on that one hip joint. Keep the leg. And can you come back? Can you come back? Can you come back? Can you return? Can you return? Can you return to standing? Not so much can you go back with the arms and head, but can you return to standing? That's what I mean. Possible. Yeah. Is it possible to do so a second time? Hands are soft. Sorry?
Same size?
Yeah. Wide ribs. Long, long lines. Long lines. And just just even the tiniest little bit. Doesn't have to be as far as some others are going. Good. Good. Now maybe the other one. Lines and lengths. Let the lines and the lengths do it for you. And the clarity of where the hip joint is and how the pelvis rolls on the head of the femur, and everything else is just lines and softness and some work in there. Good. Yeah. Neat. Yeah, and if the arms are too much going forward, don't bring them. Yeah. And isn't it great how nicely that foot just adapts so you don't fall? Mm-hmm. Just goes sometimes on the outside, sometimes on the inside edge. But I only see that when I look at your foot, because actually up above you're really steady. It's extraordinary. So all the adaptability of finding your balance is happening in the small joints really close to the ground. Yes. So that everything above just goes without flailing. Yeah, this flailing. So walk around. You imagine what could possibly...
And really wakes up the small joints in the feet. Huh?
Yes, they have... There's a necessity, right? They're needed. And so somehow they're available, they're needed, and they're used. Available, needed, and used. Given a circumstance.
It's not this, because this I also know, but this is they are not available.
Yeah, it's not grabbing the floor with the toes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Where it's just, so the toes stay actually really spread, right? And the availability is in the movement and not in the attempt to grab and hold. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So here, what the next offering is. The next offering is, and then you can take your time while you do it. Which would be for those? Sorry,
no foot on the ground.
Why do you think we open the windows? The birds have reported to us that there's good food in between the bricks, so you can go and get there. So the next thing would be to not have the arms be forward, or maybe have the arms be forward, or maybe have the arms be down as you tilt, as you have been, but then you actually open the arms and you pivot on this one leg, so that instead of looking at the floor, you're looking at the window or the wall in front of you. Pivoting on the hip joint. It's a ball. It's a universal joint, so you can actually go almost anywhere.
Theoretically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there the arms would be more like it's somehow like wings, right? The shoulder height. So one hand will go to the floor and one hand will go to the ceiling, and the belly button and the nose, the belly button also, the belly button will face this new direction. Use any kind of aid if you want to use it. If you want to use the floor, that's really very low. Maybe you want to use something a little bit higher. Use a chair for the hand that's going down, right? You've got a chair nearby. So the belly button, the breastbone, and the nose. Turn. So it's the, in other words, it's the whole pelvis that pivots on the standing femur. Huh? And the leg. You get to think of lines. Think of lines. Yeah. And the length of the standing leg through the heel. through the heel, the knee of the lifting leg, the toes of the lifting leg, the lines. The lines need to be really almost as if they're continual lines. They're not objects. They're not heavy objects. They're lines that are actually lengthening with equal distribution through all the dimensions, which is therefore in fact the lines keep you balanced. It's great. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Yep. Yep. So think of that little wonderful universal hip joint around which you are doing this. Fingertips, the lines right through the fingertips. That's a bit low. Because then your chest goes lower than your leg. You don't have it. You want a line from the heel to the head, right? A line from the heel to the head. Lovely. Sorry?
I didn't think about the leg.
It sort of looked like that, yes. It looked like it was a little deprived of your attention. But then, so then the whole one side of the pelvis has to lift. All one side of the pelvis. That's it. There you go. That's good.
And the hair was a little bit...
Sorry?
The hair from the leg was lifting. It was a little bit tall.
Did you say the heel?
The heel.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, first you might want to actually even lean on the chair to really get the sense of where the parts are to give you an orientation. Okay, now, otherwise, just go to the beginning movement, which was what? Which was standing with one leg. With one arm in front, and see how it is to just lift the other leg and stand there. Mm-hmm. How's that done?
Yes.
Piece of cake. Piece of cake. And somehow, through all of these ATMs, what everybody has found is how to stand, how to not stand, which is how most people stand on one leg, which is the pelvis behind the femur. And then the only way to do it is to try to grip. And there's no, and this pulls down. So everybody, through all of these explorations, your pelvises have pivoted right over, pivoted the cup, right over the head of the femur, which all started, or one part of which was lifting the foot and seeing if that can automatically take the head of the femur back and the cup of the pelvis over forward. So it's very likely that if you go to that really internal little movement without the arms and the legs magnifying it, maybe you'll find it more clearly. Oh, yeah, please. You get like immediately the neck gets taller. Great. I suppose one could do this whole ATM on a balance beam. Mm-hmm. Okay.
walk around and we'll take a short next time. Oh, why didn't I think of that? She
How early did you wake up this morning?
Not really.
So we'll take a short break. Take a short break. Look at the lens that is obvious in those around you.